And welcome to the End Time Shofar channel. I'm Gerald. We'll be discussing Rapture Mania. When did Jesus really say that the end of the world would be? Now, you know, several months back on September 23rd, the designated date that the rapture would happen. We've seen other things, natural disasters occur here in America, and people making big deals, oh, the Lord's soon to come back. And we've seen times in the past where Harold Camping and other instances where people set these designated dates where Jesus is supposed to come and rapture the church. However, the church, in a sense, in America, tries to make it seem like when stuff happens here in America, that America is the whole entire world. Like if something happens with Christians being killed here in America, oh, the rapture's soon to come. Well, to be quite honest and truthful, there's a lot of brothers and sisters that are in Christ that are being martyred every single day around the world, being persecuted, literally persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. Here in America, we go through a little bit, we have a little bit of hard times, or we see things happening, some shootings or something like that. Like, oh, okay, let's hurry up and be raptured out of here. Lord, hurry up and take us out of here so we can escape wrath and other things and persecution. However, Jesus has for us a mission to accomplish while we're here on this earth. Matter of fact, the words of Jesus said, occupy until I come. Not to have a bunch of church conferences, not to have a bunch of good music and good preaching where we run around, we dance, we shout, we have a good time in the church, and we fail to go out into the uttermost part of the world and to disciple the nations. That's the main mission. Now, I'm not here to try to have a view on pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. That's what this video is not about. The main essence is why people are so caught up, and every time something happens, just like now, we see that Donald Trump wants to make plans to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv in Israel, from Tel Aviv, Israel, to Jerusalem, and he proclaimed that Jerusalem is Israel's actual capital. So now everybody's in an uproar. Everybody's pulling out their charts, their end time prophecy charts and all. In the meantime, the world's going into hell in a handbasket, and the failed mission to disciple the nations, you still have a lot of people, unreached people, that have not heard the gospel. Now we're going to go ahead, we're going to look at some of the past rapture mania that has occurred within this country of the United States and some of the effects afterwards. Now the first group and people that we're going to look at is William Miller. William Miller was a Baptist minister that was in the 19th century, and he held the belief that Jesus would return in 1844. Now, his followers were known as the Millerites. So, Miller had convinced all of his followers that Jesus would return October 22nd, 1844. So, he had thousands of people following him, believing that the rapture was going to occur, that Jesus was going to come back and swoop them out of here. And as the days began to number it around, some of his followers stood on the hills, they stood on housetops waiting eagerly for Jesus to return. When October 22nd, 1844, when that day passed, all of his followers were disappointed and delusional and upset that this prediction that Miller made that Christ would return on that designated date didn't happen. It was known as the Great Disappointment. Okay, so next we have a book written by Edgar Wisenet. And the title of the book in regards to this rapture mania was called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is in 1988. So again, people make these predictions and they speak like the Rhema, but it doesn't line up with the logo. So the spoken word that they speak, or what they speak, what they think is the word of the Lord, does not line up with scripture. So scripture always takes precedence over the person that's speaking. So if the person is speaking the word, it should line up with the actual logos, the actual word from God. So God's word never contradict, God never contradicts himself. So here again, 1988 has come and gone, and again, at least people that follow these actual ministers in a way of their disbelief, they're upset, and they begin to wonder, like, wow, my faith is shaking. They like told me I really believe what they told me. They told me this was going to happen in this particular day, and then it doesn't occur. Now, we're going to further take a look at some of these individuals have really fed into this rapture mania, predicting dates when Jesus is going to return. When Jesus is very clear in the scriptures, he states that no man knows the day or hour. Now, some men take exception to that, that they think that they have special revelation, that they get this special revelation from the Spirit of God that gives them these exact dates when the Lord is going to return. It's contrary again to biblical scriptures. You always want to hold biblical scripture above what any quote unquote man of God may be trying to give you their own spoken word. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, don't follow it. Well, Camping, he made earlier predictions back in 1994 that Jesus would return either on September 15th or September 27th. Now, he didn't have enough common sense to keep his mouth shut, repent of his error, repent of this false, erroneous doctrine that he knew the exact date when Jesus returned. We fast forward to 2011, and Camping, being a pastor and a radio evangelist over the family radio, predicted that Jesus would come May 21st of 2011. Now, a lot of people that were following him, thousands and thousands of people, were quitting their jobs, selling their homes, doing all this other stuff, not following the scriptures. And when individuals, when pastors kind of dictate to you everything and don't impress upon you to know the scriptures for yourself, to search and seek the scriptures out for yourself, and lead you in the direction that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you, because the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth, that becomes a cult. When he's constantly lording over you and dictating over you, and you're believing every word that he says instead of trying to know the word of God for yourself. Now, when May 21st rolled around in 2011 and that date fell, then Camping went on to say that the Lord's going to come in October 22nd of 2011. So we see how all this fuels people into thinking that Jesus is going to return. They believe these men of God are people of God, are these leaders that make these dates. And then when it doesn't happen, people fall into unbelief and they become so messed up in the head when it comes to God and the church and all. And they fall away, or they fall into other diverse things and all. So we have to make sure that we're sound in the scripture and not to be tossed to and fro from every wind and doctrine, or every person that has these dates set up when the Lord's going to return, because it's clear cut that the Lord says that no man knows the day. Last but least, one of the main examples that's happened even most recently within the last couple of months was September 23rd, 2017. Now, you have these quote unquote Christian, supposed to be theologians, who were using astrology and numerology and all this other stuff, and saying that they were predicting that Jesus would come back and that the stars and the planets would line up and it would be a fulfillment of Revelation chapter 12. However, this does not line up with scriptures. Number one, scripture says, don't want to be repetitive, but Jesus says that no man knows the day nor the hour. Number two, problem with that is the Bible does not condone astrology. So that within itself, you shouldn't, if the Bible doesn't condone astrology, and also too, the scripture says that no man knows that day nor the hour. This is Jesus talking, that no man knows the day nor the hour. Why should we be following such teachings? So again, people got wrapped up within this date, and people were making videos and putting them on YouTube and just other things and all, and they're all on the different media outlets like Fox and the Daily Beast and, you know, all these different publications and all. We're talking about secular publications. We're talking about even the Huffington Post is talking about this date being set. And it made Christians look very foolish that when it didn't occur, then it just puts a black eye just overall in the landscape of all believers. So we have to really be about our Father's business and occupying our time until He comes, and just really be about kingdom business and just going about what the Spirit of the Lord is leading us to do in these last and evil days.
Now I want to take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. We've got all these people setting these dates for the rapture to occur. Now, we base everything off sound doctrine and scripture. So it reads, moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well and to be attentive to it as a lamp shining in dark places until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Know this, first of all, that there is no prophecy of scripture that is a matter of personal interpretation. For no prophecy ever came through human will, but rather human beings moved by the Holy Spirit spoke under the influence of God. So when you have all these different people that have these revelations, oh, the rapture is going to happen September 23rd of 2017, or Harold Camping saying that the raptures was going to occur, I guess, May 21st of 2011. And you have people writing books, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is going to Happen in 1988. It's based off human will and human intellect, and also, too, it's fallen in snare of being somewhat inspired by the devil to make these false prophecies, and then people become scoffers. Oh, you know, you guys been saying that the Lord's going to come back, Jesus is going to come back, and you make all these wild predictions and it never happens. So we have to make sure that we occupy our time wisely and that we're really about our Father's business in these last evil days. We have to make sure that we take up the Great Commission of going out and discipling the nations. So it's a lot of nations that have not been reached with the gospel of the kingdom. So when we look at Matthew 24, verse 36, it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So you have these men like Harold Camping and this other individual who said that the rapture was going to occur on September 23rd of 2017. It says, no man knoweth. So when it means no man that knoweth, the word of God makes no exceptions. It says, not even the angels of heaven. So if people are coming up with these wild revelations, well, an angel told me that the rapture is going to happen on XYZ day. That is a false prophet. That's heretical. And they've been given over to seducing spirits. So we have to make sure that we're in line with the word of God. So the only one that knows the day or the hour when the rapture will occur is the Father. So while we're waiting, because Jesus is going to return, but while we're waiting for him to return, we have to occupy our time. We have to make sure we utilize our time wisely of advancing the kingdom of God and reaching the lost and going out to the nations and to disciple them. Now, when did Jesus actually said the end will occur? He states this in Matthew 24 and 14. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony unto all nations. Then the end will come." So in Matthew chapter 24 is known as the Olivet Discourse. Jesus says that certain signs you'll see is the beginning of birth pains. And he actually states, you see these different signs, but it's not the end. He actually says in verse 14, which we just read, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached in the whole entire world, then the end will come. So are we really taking the gospel out into the whole entire world and reaching the nations? Are we really going out and doing the Great Commission of discipling the nations? Here in America, we can have like mass shootings and other things like that may occur. Or just recently, Trump announced that he wants to move the U.S. embassy there in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And we get all fixated. Oh, the rapture is going to happen. And things occur within this country. And we want to skip any type of persecution and all. And we just want to just hurry up and get rescued out of here and forget that we have a mission for the kingdom of God and to reaching the nations. Now I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 9 through 10. It says, "God is not slow concerning his promises, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." So God's not like us. God has his own timetable. So God has his divine plan. And behind the scenes, God is at work. There's a lot of things that are going on in this world with the gospel reaching the unreached people. There's Muslims coming to Christ. There's all type of people that are coming to Christ. But there's a large amount of people within this world that have not been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God doesn't wish for any of them to perish. So it's the duties for Bible believing Christians, instead of like being so like fat off the word of God, you go, you hear good preaching, you hear good singing. We had church, you run and jump. But you're not fulfilling the Great Commission. Something's wrong with that. You're neglecting what Jesus called us to do. Now I want to take a look at all people groups within the whole entire world and look at the correlation if they're being indeed reached with the gospel. Now I'm going to start off reading Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 through 20. And it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." So Jesus is stating, go out, make disciples of all nations, baptize them. And are we actually seeing this where normally when churches do go out on mission trips, it's normally people that are already are in the faith, that are already Christians, they're not going out to areas where people have been unreached to reach them with the gospel of the kingdom. They go, they preach at these churches. It may take a little bit of money, and that's about it. It's not really going towards people that really actually need to hear the word of God. So they post these pictures on Facebook that they went over to a foreign country. They did a missions trip. They had church. And basically, that's it. The money that most American churches utilize within the four walls of the church goes towards hearing beautiful, wonderful preaching and singing and conferences. It's not really goes towards any type of mission work to especially reach people that never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even within a local community, they're not trying to reach the unreached. They're reaching people that are already heard the gospel or already have a church within the area. So when we look at this chart by Joshua Project, they show you that there is at least over 6,700 unreached people group within this whole entire planet. Now I'm going to show a video clip of how money is allocated in regards to missions, and it will really blow your mind. But I think I'm going to leave with this thought, folks. We really need to grasp the mindset that we really need to go out and disciple the nations and reach the unreached people. And being driven by this rapture mania, I know Jesus is going to come back, and I want to sound like a broken record, but he even stated we need to occupy till he comes. We really need to be like he said when he was doing his earthly ministry. We really need to be about our Father's business. And that brings pleasure to the Father when he sees that we're about his business and we don't have our own agendas. We don't have our own preconceived notions of hurry up and take us out of here, but have a heart of the Father to reach people that are headed towards the broad road of eternal destruction and damnation.
Jesus told us 2,000 years ago that our mission is to go and make disciples of all nations. He also promised us that only after we accomplish that task will we receive the blessing of his return. So, how are we doing accomplishing our mission? To answer that, let's classify the 7 billion people on the earth today into three groups. Let's start with the Christians. About 33% of the world's population would identify itself as Christian. We call this segment of the population World C, C for Christian. It's important to remember that not all of the people that fall into World C are true believers in Christ. They merely identify themselves as Christian because of nominal belief in Jesus, or because they live in a country where everyone is considered Christian, so they would do the same. Next, there's the 38% of the world that has access to the gospel but has chosen not to follow Jesus. They have Bibles in their language, churches nearby, friends or co-workers who are potentially Christians, or access to other Christian resources in their language. These people have access to the good news, but just haven't acted on it yet. This segment of the population is called World B. That leaves us with 29% of the world, just over one out of every four people on this planet who not only have never heard of Jesus, they have no chance of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. They have no access to the gospel, no Bibles, no churches, no believers nearby, no chance to learn about Jesus. We call that 29% World A. Now, on to missionaries. Only one out of every 1,800 Christians in World C decides to serve as a cross-cultural missionary. So, we can pull 400,000 missionaries out of that World C population. That's our total cross-cultural missionary force worldwide. Did you know that 72% of all our missionaries are going to World C? That's right, The vast majority of the missionaries being sent out are going to the people of the world that have Bibles and established churches. 25% of the missionaries are sent to World B, where there is already some access to the church and to the Bible. That leaves only 3% of the total missionary force to handle all of World A, the section of the population without any chance of hearing about Jesus. 29% of the world has no way to hear the gospel, but we're sending only a tiny portion of our Christian workers to them. What about finances? Annually, all those Christians in World C earn a total of $42 trillion. And together, they give about $700 billion to Christian causes each year. That includes everything: Christian nonprofits, churches, youth programs, missions, etc. Can you do the math? Less than 2% of Christian income is being given to Christ's causes. Out of that $700 billion given to all Christian causes, only $45 billion is given to missions specifically. That's a little over 6%. In fact, there is more money reported embezzled from the church each year than is given to missions. Remember those 400,000 missionaries? We have $45 billion to support them and their cross-cultural work, but how exactly is it allocated? Well, $39 billion goes to World C every year. Yep. 87% of that missions money is being spent in areas of the world that have Bibles and churches available. $5.4 billion, or 12%, goes to World B each year, those that have access to the gospel message but have rejected it. That leaves only $450 million, or 1% of all missions money, going to World A, the least reached people of the world. To put that into perspective, annually Americans spend more money on Halloween costumes for their pets then get sent to World A. To summarize, only 3% of our missionary force, armed with only 1% of missions giving, is going out to reach the 2 billion people who don't have access to the gospel. 2 billion people are still waiting for the good news of Jesus Christ. So here's a question for you. What are you going to do to change that?